much.
Fell my fine ass, Shauna said. That's about her fifth fall this year.
Emma almost choked on her drink.
So, that was one of the households they knew too much about.
It's possible she's clumsy, Emma said. Isn't it?
Huh, was the answer. She's being kicked around. Know how I know? Because I see it in her eyes, and I've seen it before. When I looked in the mirror.
Oh, dear God, Shauna, Emma said.
Don't waste pity on me. I found the way out, even if you never get all the way out. If he isn't still out there posing a threat, then he's in here, she said, tapping her head.
Don't you worry none about Shauna, Deli said.
Her boys are as big as he is, and they take good care of their mama.
They do. Now we're going to get over to Ms. Fletcher's. She's the clumsy one.
I think I might know what makes her so clumsy, Deli said.
Then the two of them cackled madly.
What? Emma asked.
She's a wino, Shauna said, and they giggled some more.
It had taken her a while, but now Emma figured it out. She was hearing all this gossip because McKenna wasn't with them. McKenna was part of the executive trio with Riley and Nick, the holders of the Holy Grail, the policy manual. Violation of the policies got you fired.
What's up with the Christensen house? Emma bravely asked.
Shauna shrugged. Career couple.
Someone's got a little OCD going on there. I vote for her.
Could be him, Deli said. We wouldn't know. They're never home. It's an easy house.
Not a speck of dust anywhere.
You gotta wonder why they hired a cleaning crew, Shauna said.
For the carpet tracks, Deli said.
You gotta wonder why they had a kid, Emma ventured.
Yeah, poor kid.
Typical.
Typical?
All they think about is work and money. Everything has to be perfect, Deli said. I like it that way better than the Brewsters. Those boys have every toy and gadget ever invented. They're sloppy with no manners or respect and, Shauna said. And I bet they already got accepted to Harvard even though the oldest one is 12.
That is a hard house, Emma agreed.
Dirty, messy, cluttered with stuff. If she'd had a child, she would have taught him to put away his things, even if they had household help.
When she dumped the trash in the master bath, it was full of the lady's outrageous price tags. She smiled to herself. Those numbers hadn't always seemed outrageous to her. How many of her cleaning staff saw her price tags?
Well, hardly any of her things had price tags, as they were designed specifically for her.
But there was the odd, outrageously expensive purse purchased at Neiman's. She had an urge to unburden herself to her new friends. New friends who would never understand. She'd like to tell them what she knew. That those people, with all their possessions, could wake up one day to discover they'd been living a lie. That the identity they thought they had was gone, and they would have to figure out all over again who they were. Of course she couldn't. This was why she'd come back. There were a few people here who knew her before and after. Who knew who she'd been growing up and who she was again. Only Emma was having a hard time getting a fix on her identity. Emma had a message on her cell phone from Aaron Justice, so she called him back before leaving the parking lot after work.
I just wanted to wish you a pleasant holiday, he said, and to tell you, we're working on an accounting of your father's estate according to his will. It should be ready after the holidays. I don't want you to get your hopes up, but I anticipate a late Christmas present for you.
Thank you, Aaron. And don't worry about my hopes. Just seeing you again has been an enormous treat. I wish you a lovely holiday.
I'll be with my sons and grandsons. One of them is talking about making me a great-grandfather.
What a fantastic Christmas present for you. Thank you, Aaron, for trying to help me. Your friendship is so valuable to me.
Your father would be proud of you, Emma.
Proud? She wasn't sure about that. She'd made some pretty bad choices in the last decade. But she hoped she was making better choices now. I hope so, she told Aaron. Chapter 14. Riley was very much out of practice with the whole dating thing, but one thing she knew she wanted to do, she wanted to introduce Logan to her daughter. Their relationship had always been honest and upfront, with those few little exceptions Riley had held back, like that whole Riley-Jock-Emma thing, which was now mostly out there. So, she nervously asked Maddie if she'd like to meet Logan and have dinner with him. Dinner? Wow, we're all going out, I guess? Will Grandma and Adam be coming too? I thought we could just be the three of us. You know, we've got Christmas in a couple of weeks. Logan has a family, I have my family, we'll all be busy. We might see each other, but I'm not planning on merging families over an important holiday like Christmas. So I thought I'd cook something simple, invite him over, let you get to know him a little. What about Dad? She asked. No, I definitely won't be inviting your dad, Riley said. Maddie, I'm dating Logan. Sort of. Sort of? You're dating him for real, Mom. You giggle on the phone. Even I haven't had a boyfriend like that yet. What about that Brian Bresky? She asked. Wasn't he a boyfriend? You invested a lot of time in him. That was seventh grade. Kid stuff. Oh, Riley said. Well, I haven't quite elevated Logan to boyfriend status yet. So you're not sleeping with him yet? Maddie asked. Oh my Jesus, you did not really ask me that. Of course I did, she grinned. Is there anything we should talk about before you get in over your head? I thought I'd cook, Riley said. Ew, you don't want to scare him away, do you? It's cold. I could make chili and cornbread muffins. Are you going to actually make it? Maddie asked. Possibly. Maddie laughed herself stupid. Listen, I want you to be nice to Logan, Riley said. I've met men for a drink or coffee over the years, but I think I've been out to dinner twice since you were born. Really, the men out there are dismal. Logan is kind of fun. He's interesting, he has cop stories. His partner is a woman. He says she's the smartest cop he's ever known. There probably won't be time for more than one dinner like this until after the holidays, so let's pretend we're very excited to have him over. Very happy to meet him. Hmm? I can do that, she said. Will he bring his gun? Lord, I hope not. Well, what fun is that? Riley was used to Maddie's humor, her teasing, but she sincerely hoped Maddie could put a good image forth and impress Logan a little bit. On the day they had chosen, just over a week before Christmas, the house was decorated a little bit. No point in going crazy with decorations when they'd spend most of the holiday celebrating at June's house, where the decorations were over the top, complete with outside lighting. Riley did have a tree, however. You can't be a single mom and ignore the tree. She told June what she'd be doing, and June deftly pulled a big bucket of her best chili out of the freezer and handed it to Riley, telling her to just dump it in the crock pot. June whipped up some cornbread muffins. It took her under 30 minutes. Are you going to be able to throw together a green salad? June asked Riley. Of course, she said indignantly. Riley stopped at the grocery store on the way home and worked her way around the salad bar in the deli section, looking over her shoulder the whole time, hoping not to get caught. Then she saw him. There he was, standing in the checkout line with a bunch of flowers and a bottle of wine. She just shook her head and chuckled to herself. She went and stood behind him. He jumped in surprise and attempted to hold the flowers behind his back. But when he saw her holding the salad, he relaxed and returned her smile with his own.
"So, this is how working people date," she said.
"Do you like these?"
he asked, holding out the cellophane-wrapped bouquet.
"If you want to pick something you like better..."
"I like them very much," she said.
"Want to follow me home?"
"I've wanted to for weeks now."
The chili and muffins were exceptional. June liked her chili with a little kick to it, something she didn't share with the elderly on her meal route. But Logan thoroughly enjoyed it. Since they'd run into each other at the store, Riley told him the truth, that it was her mother's chili, and it was a good thing she did, because Maddie wasted no time in selling her out. Riley and Logan started off with a glass of wine, and she arranged the flowers. The table was set, the chili was in the crock pot, she put the muffins in a basket to warm in the microwave. The house was, as usual, immaculate.
"How was your day, dear?" Logan said.
"Perfectly ordinary. Yours?"
"It was a day full of reports, meetings, paperwork, and no fun stuff."
"What's the fun stuff? I'm afraid to ask."
"Chasing bad guys. Haven't done hardly any of that lately. George and I have been on this task force with feds, and we've been sorting through a lot of paper. Feds love their paper."
"What kind of task force?"
"I'm not allowed to talk about it yet, but give it a few more weeks, and when it's behind me and closed, I'll tell you all about it. It will help you sleep. It's boring."
That's when Maddie came into the kitchen, was introduced to Logan, and poured herself a Diet Coke.
"Wow," she said, eyeing the table.
"Fancy. Watch out, Logan. When she sets a fancy table, it usually means something serious is coming down."
"Is that right?"
"That's affirmative," she said, mocking police lingo. "My grandma made the chili because my mother really doesn't cook much."
"I'm a pretty good cook. I just don't have a lot of time. And grandma loves to cook, so we eat over there a lot," Riley said.
She put the flowers on the table and they all sat down.
"Will grandma be making Christmas dinner?"
Logan asked. "Oh, most definitely," Maddie said before Riley could open her mouth. "She'd be brokenhearted if we changed tradition, and so would my dad."
"Your dad?" Riley asked.
"We always spend quality time together around the holidays, and he usually comes over to my grandma's at least for dessert. He was there on Thanksgiving. We're kind of a close family."
"We are?" Riley asked.
"My parents might not be married, but they get along very well. What do you do on holidays?" she asked Logan.
"Go to my mother's,"
he said.
"I have a sister, brother-in-law, niece, and nephew."
"And are you divorced?"
"Maddie!"
"What? It's a getting-to-know-you dinner, right?"
"That's okay, Riley. I am divorced. 8 years, and yes, we're still friendly. No kids."
"Do you wish you'd had kids?" Logan leaned toward her.
"I have an unmarked police car. Want to go outside and press the button for the lights and siren?"
"Gee, tempting as that is, I'll pass. Mom, want me to help you dish up?"
"I thought we'd visit a little first, and then I'll serve, Maddie," she said slowly, measuring each word.
What was this? Riley wondered. Asking about his divorce.
"So tell me all about the family, Logan," Maddie said. "Mom, dad, sister, etc.?"
She leaned her head on her hand, waiting. And so it began. Maddie interviewed Logan. Logan did great at avoiding and evading and punctuating with his own questions because he was, after all, a detective. But Riley was soon horrified. Maddie managed to insert lots of information about Jock, making her dad look like he was extremely desirable and quite accomplished.
"My dad is in electronics. He has a business degree. He works for Mackey's. It's a national chain, and he's the manager of one of their biggest stores. Oh, my mom and dad still spend a lot of time together. They go to all my games and meets together, and they chaperone the homecoming dance together. My dad was all conference in high school, and he's still as athletic as ever. Are you interested in sports, Logan?
Yes,
Logan said to that last question, beginning to look annoyed.
I'm very athletic. I frequently throw very large men over the hood of my unmarked car and cuff them. And I often chase bad young men and women who have committed crimes, and I always catch them.
I'm going to put on the coffee, Riley said. And I have cheesecake, store-bought. May I be excused? Maddie asked. Absolutely, Riley said. Thanks, she said. Really great to meet you, Logan.
Likewise,
he said.
Please tell your grandma the chili was outstanding.
There was no sound in the kitchen but the dripping and bubbling of the coffee pot, and then the closing of Maddie's door. Riley and Logan let out their collective breath. Logan, I'm sorry about that. That was the last thing I expected.
Don't worry about it. I think I can get her a job if she's interested in grilling hardcore criminals.
You handled it great, but I have no idea what she's talking about. That I spend a lot of time with her dad? I don't. At least, I sure don't feel like I do. We try to coordinate plans so I know where Maddie's going to be on a given...
I don't think that had anything to do with her dad,
Logan said.
But I think we got a close view of her preference.
It makes no sense, Riley said. She was excited to know I was finally dating someone.
Then come here, he said, pulling her chair closer, putting his hands on her waist. Date me a little.
He leaned toward her for a kiss, and she obliged.
She's not quite ready,
he said very quietly.
She's gonna need a little more time. And apparently, I'm going to have to prove myself in athletics, electronics, and a few other things.
I've never felt a stronger urge to spank my daughter.
I think you better talk to her instead. See what's going on. But for now, kiss me better.
Are you wounded?
Nah, not too bad. I'm having a talk with myself right now. Families are complicated. And I'm going to be patient. You know why? I want us to work. That's why. I think it's going to be okay, but it's Christmas. And Christmas has a way of stirring things up, so I'm taking my lead from you. I want to be together as much as you want to be. You're going to have to drive this train. Can you do that, Riley?
Are you kidding? It's one of my most serious flaws. I like being in charge. She wiggled away from him and poured two cups of coffee and dished up two slices of cheesecake. Then she sat back down, closer to him than necessary. She put a little cheesecake on her fork and fed it to him. The only part of this dinner I made was the coffee.
Modern women turn me on,
he said.
I have a feeling this first Christmas of ours isn't going to include our families, but that's okay. We're still new. There's lots of time.
He fed her a bite from his plate.
So my busy season is here,
Logan said.
And not because I'll be partying. More burglaries, domestics, drunk driving. It all adds up to overtime. But maybe we can sneak in our own little Christmas. I want you to think about it. Tell me when you have time. Help me decide what kind of day or evening you'd like.
I'm sorry about Maddie. She's really not like that. She's one of the most accepting, generous, warm-hearted people I know. And I don't think she got it from me.
Who'd she get it from, then?
He asked. My mom, I think. My mom is like that.
Can I help with the cleanup?
He asked, feeding her another bite. No, no. Cleanup is my specialty, my profession. They finished deserting coffee. Then Riley treated Logan to a very nice, deep, meaningful kiss and some heartfelt caressing by the front door. Riley was starting to ask herself why she'd avoided this kind of contact for so long. No one had interested her, true. But why had no one interested her? Was it because after Jock she fasted? She cleaned up the kitchen very slowly and quietly. She had a dishwasher, but sometimes she liked washing and drying the dishes by hand. When she was finished and the kitchen was perfect and shining, she went to Maddie's room. She knocked before going in. Maddie was in her pajamas, ballerina and heart pajamas, perfect for a 5-year-old girl, but her girl had long blonde hair, blue eyes, and was 5'8". "You want to tell me what that was about?" Riley asked. "What?" "Don't pretend you don't know, Maddie. I've never seen you act like that. Didn't you like him?" She came into her daughter's room and sat on the bed. "Yeah, I liked him. He seemed nice. He's even kind of hot. What kind of cop is he?" "That's kind of up in the air, I think. His business card says property crimes, but he says he's doing some special project at the moment." "Now why were you going on and on about your dad? That's not really true, all that stuff you said." "Sure it is. I talk to him every day. He's never missed a game or meet. He always comes by on special occasions, even if we're at grandma's. He takes me to my other grandma's, though not as much, and he's around you a lot because of me. He's nice and he's handsome, too." "But Maddie, your dad and I couldn't work things out. I explained all that." "Not really. He did a better job of explaining than you ever did. And when I told him you were dating some guy, it made him so sad." She shrugged. "I think he's lonely. And he still loves you." "Maddie, I don't think he ever loved me. And Lord knows he wasn't ready to be a father." "Well, no kidding. That would be like me being a mother. But he's older now." "Maddie, you have to be realistic. Your dad has been married. He loves you very much, but he doesn't have any feelings for me." "I know. He's pretty embarrassed about that marriage. He didn't know what he was thinking. He said he should have known better. But he said he's always loved you and always will." "Because I'm your mother," Riley said. "That's all it is." "No, Mama, that's not all." "But it's okay. Logan is nice, and he's nice to you. That's what matters, right?" "Right. Are you going to be nicer the next time he's around?" She nodded, but bit her lower lip. "You know, you never went out on a date. I thought maybe you and Daddy still might have a thing for each other." "Listen, I had a couple of dates. A few, actually. I never said anything." "You probably said you had meetings." "Probably. But I was asked out. I met a couple of guys for coffee, went to a couple of happy hours, went out to dinner a couple of times, but it just wasn't the right time, I guess. I was bored. I figured if it was right, I'd get a little excited." "Does Logan get you excited?" she asked. "I don't know, but he makes me laugh. I'm comfortable with him. I feel good about myself when we're together, and it seems like we have a lot to talk about. But Maddie, it's not serious. It's friendly. It could get serious, but I've only known him a few weeks. Relationships take time. And I'm in no rush. Now, is there anything else you need to know?" "One thing. I hope you'll tell me the truth." "Maddie, I always tell you the truth." "Okay. Did you ever love Daddy? I mean, really?" It was the oddest thing. Riley felt tears in her eyes. She blinked a little wildly, willing them away. She cleared her throat. She wiped her palms on her slacks. "Yes," she finally said, her voice soft. "Yes, I did." "Really?" she asked. "Painfully so," Riley said. Emma steadfastly refused to announce to Adam's family that they were officially seeing each other though everyone but Riley knew.
"Let's not push our luck," she said.
She didn't want any trouble or friction from Riley, and mostly she didn't want a brother and sister at odds over her during Christmas.
"Riley has to be the one to invite me back into her life, even as just an acquaintance.
We'll never be good friends, I get that, but I don't want to push my way into your family before she's ready."
"You know I don't give a damn what Riley thinks about this,"
Adam said. "That's exactly what worries me."
"Why are you so intent on having it the hard way?"
"Is that what you think? Oh, you're wrong. I want it the peaceful way, especially now. My first Christmas home with a nice place to live, a decent job, a great fella. I'm going to invite your mom over to see my little place and host her for a couple of hours. I'm going to spend some time with Lyle and Ethan, bring them a nice bottle of wine and some brie and caviar, wriggle my way into Ethan's good graces. I'm spending an evening with Penny and her girlfriends. They have a little Christmas party every year, and I'm now officially part of the club."
"And me?"
he asked. "I'm sure we'll have lots of quality time together."
"How about Christmas Eve?"
he asked. "I'll wait up," she said. She wanted to enjoy the days leading up to Christmas. She didn't have much to spend on her few friends, and she enjoyed it more that way. She found a lovely pashmina shawl for Penny, a couple of small but pretty tree decorations for the other ladies, and for Lyle and Ethan, a Christmas serving platter. For June, a decorative Christmas table runner that was lovely and on sale. For Adam, a soft, cuddly navy blue sweater with a white button-down shirt, a pair of delicious slippers, because she'd noticed he didn't have any, and a book, a Nelson DeMille novel. She'd studied his bookcase. He loved that particular author, and although he had an e-reader, he liked to read paper. She bought herself a few modest decorations for her little house. Adam still came to her place, though she knew he really liked his house and was so happy when she was there with him. "It's going to be a long time, Adam, before I'm good for more than this, than what we have right now. I'm working through everything, but it's slow. Everything that came before us is weighty."
"Is Lucinda helping?"
he asked. "I think so, but I'm not seeing her again until the new year. I'm feeling almost secure," she said. "I'm afraid to blink."
"I'm not going anywhere," he said.
The holiday decorations and the homes they cleaned were a beautiful pain in the ass. Difficult to clean and tidy around. Still, Emma enjoyed them as never before. It was entertaining to see what each family had done. The Douglases, with the three spoiled boys, had enough presents under the tree to take care of all the children in an orphanage. The Nesbitts had grown children and grandchildren, and they kept the number of gifts reasonable, yet decorated lavishly. Many of the things meant to be fun for the children, advent calendar, talking Rudolph, nutcracker soldier. The Parkers had no presents under the tree. They'd be spending Christmas in Maui. She was looking forward to seeing what the Christensen family had done. The last time she was there, nothing had been done to decorate, and she feared nothing would be done. But voila! Just in time for Christmas, the decorations had appeared and they blew her mind. It was a decorator's dream. She knew the cost of many of the ornaments and tabletop decorations. A nativity painted in gold and draped in Swarovski from Bergdorf's, crystal reindeer from Tiffany's, a stunning wreath. Surely those weren't real diamonds. But it was copied from the real one created by Pasi Jokinen Carter. Their tree and staircase garland were decorated by a professional. She could tell. The few packages under the tree were wrapped in expensive paper that matched some of the glass balls. Fancy ribbon was coordinated with the home furnishing colors. There were silver candelabra with red candles, fresh Christmas flowers in the dining room and foyer, an expensive tapestry hung on the staircase landing, and a garland to end all garlands, fresh and adorned with balls and ribbons that matched the tree. Deli and Shauna gasped when they saw the house. "Stay away from the tree and garland," Emma told the girls. Most of those ornaments came from jewelers, not Target. Both of them backed up fearfully.
How do you know that?
Shauna asked in a whisper. This isn't my first rodeo, was all Emma said. In fact, she got out her cell phone. She called McKenna. We're at the Christensen house, and you might want to check this out. The Christmas decorations are worth more than the van. No one wants to dust them. We'll wait for you. They started upstairs. As usual, nothing was disturbed except for a damp towel in the hamper, which Emma scooped up and put in the laundry bag for pickup. The laundry and dry cleaning was picked up and delivered twice a week, expertly timed for the moment the Kerrigan cleaners were finished cleaning. Bethany had left her diary open on the table next to her bed. The bed she meticulously fixed in the morning, even though it was cleaning day. Clean sheet day. There was only one sentence written on the page, and Emma couldn't stop herself. After all those years of not noticing things, now she was a damn runaway train. I just wish there was someone to talk to. It clutched at Emma's heart, and before she could reason with herself, she picked up the pen and wrote a note. Talk to me. She wrote her cell number. Then her cheeks flamed so red she thought she might pass out. This house, this family, was going to kill her, and she was going to end up getting fired over it. She quickly passed the vacuum, leaving perfect tracks. I am totally fired, she thought. She wasn't even done with the vacuum when McKenna was at the house and with her, Nick. They took one look at the decorations and called Emma down. Good call, McKenna said. How'd you know? McKenna didn't know about her past. Riley hadn't told her closest co-workers their complicated history. Emma's spectacular and horrifying past. She was stunned. This isn't my first fancy house. Believe me, you don't want to break anything at Christmas time around here. Doesn't it just give you that warm, fuzzy holiday feeling? McKenna said. Stay away from all the ornamentation. I'll take care of this. Emma wondered if there was any way to sneak upstairs to Bethany's room and remove her note from the diary. But of course, it was written in pen. The only option was to tear out that page, and she couldn't bring herself to do it. McKenna and Nick seemed to be outside, conferring, talking on their phones for a long time. They sat in the company car for a while, talking, and then, without saying another word, they were gone. Before leaving the house, Emma called McKenna. What's the verdict on this house and the ornaments? Riley will be discussing it with Mrs. Christensen. Clean around them the best you can. Riley agrees we'll need a release of liability on the care and cleaning of apparently priceless knickknacks. Leave everything. Who are these people? Emma asked. McKenna sighed. Olaf Christensen owns an import-export business, and his wife is the CFO. They're very successful, very driven, both perfectionists. Import-export, Emma said. Well, that explains some of these precious decorations. They're in the buying and selling business. We already dusted around, Emma said. Then to her partners, she said, We're on the road again, girls. The next house was messy and dirty, which put them a bit behind schedule. But this was the way things went during the holidays, what with all the partying and clutter. The last house of the day was the Andrews's, and they were a bit late. Mrs. Andrews had had her arm in a sling last week, but this week no one answered the door. Going to fight the damn cat hair, Shauna said. I hate cat hair. There was a sudden but definite commotion inside, the sound of a man shouting and a woman's voice. Emma rang the doorbell again and a third time. This ain't no good. Trust me, Shauna said. Time to go make another call to McKenna. Wait, Emma said. She leaned her ear up to the door. She couldn't hear what he was saying, but he was barking, yelling. and she was wheedling, maybe whimpering. I'm worried about her, Emma said. I can't leave her in there with him.
We call Nick now, Deli said.
Open it, Emma commanded.
No, that's something we don't want to do, Deli said.
Emma leaned her ear against the door again, and suddenly it popped open and she fell inside, right onto a skinny, smelly, worked-up man. He growled and pushed her off him with surprising strength and stood up. He muttered something, then walked briskly to the car that sat in the drive. Deli and Shauna lifted Emma to her feet.
See what I'm talking about? Deli said. We don't need any part of that.
Emma was still frowning after the man. He was balding, short, and ugly. His ears were big, and he had a beak for a nose, and she was sure she saw a sizable wart on it. He cast a mean look over his shoulder. The three of them stood on the front walk with their supplies. Dusters on extenders, a big plastic carrier with all their chemicals, vacuum, bag of rags, knee pads and gloves. He spit on the ground, got in his Mercedes, and drove away.
We're not cleaning this one today, Shauna said. She'll pay her bill, don't worry about that.
But Emma walked into the house. She found Mrs. Andrews on the floor in a crumpled heap, crying. She still had her sling, all askew, and she held her arm as if it hurt. There was a fresh slap mark on her cheek, and her neck was very red, like he'd been choking her. Deli and Shauna followed Emma slowly, cautiously. Working together, they lifted Mrs. Andrews to the couch.
Someone get Mrs. Andrews some ice. I'll just be a minute, Emma said.
What are you gonna do? Shauna asked.
Today I'm working on getting fired, it seems, she said. She walked to the front door, and standing just outside, she called the police. Chapter 15. Riley's heart was heavy. Every time she thought about her conversation with Maddie, she felt both confusion and regret. Confusion because she couldn't exactly remember her explanations about herself and Jock the way Maddie remembered, and wondered if she'd fed her daughter a series of excuses. And regret because now that she looked back on it, she'd probably glossed over things so it wouldn't sound like what it was. After about 16 years, even she didn't remember it as accurately as she should because she'd been trying to blot out some truths. That she'd fallen for her best friend's boyfriend. That she'd loved him, slept with him, expected him to stand by her from that moment, but instead, she lost them both. Sex for girls is a defining moment. Sex for guys is sex. She shook her head as if to clear the memories. After Jock had said no, he wasn't in love with her, after she had groveled and begged Emma to forgive her, after finding herself completely alone except for her mom, there was just no going back. She was completely damaged, felt like a fool, wasn't about to be hurt like that again. No one could ever know how much it tore a woman apart to trust your heart and be completely wrong. For Riley, nothing was quite as hard as being stupid. The one thing she hadn't counted on all these years of ignoring Jock, just putting up with his attempts to be a family man, was that all that time he was talking to Maddie. Apparently, honestly, from the heart, expressing his own regrets. Who knew Jock was even capable of that? Maddie seemed to think he still wanted them to be a family. As usual, Jock's timing couldn't be worse. Riley had only just met someone she actually liked. A smart guy with a career. Jeanette had left the office early to do a little last-minute Christmas shopping, and Riley turned back to her computer. She'd write Jock a letter. She'd never send it, of course, but she could get her thoughts and questions all lined up in her head by writing a letter. This was something she did with regularity. She often wrote letters to demanding and obnoxious clients, then hit delete. Dear Jock, I've been talking to Maddie, and it comes to me that my perception of our history is very different from yours, and I need to know. Did I miss something? Was I sleepwalking through that whole time, not catching the innuendo? I'm sure I was conscious when you panicked because I said I loved you. I believe I was paying attention to detail when you said, "No, wait a minute, we can't call that love. That was consensual sex, not love." And I was pretty pregnant when you said, "All right then, let's get married." I apologize if that didn't sweep me off my feet, but there you have it. I wasn't convinced it would be a marriage worth having. When you married and divorced so quickly, well, you must understand why I wasn't convinced of your good judgment. But to tell Maddie this silly thing, that you always loved me, that you wanted to get married but I was too angry, that you probably wouldn't be worth a damn to another woman, that you'd resigned yourself, that this was all you were going to get? Now how does all that make me look? You lame brain? You dipshit? You mental midget? You... That was typical of her. Right, but don't send cathartics. She was reduced to name-calling. Sometimes that helped, too. Jock, you stupid idiot. I loved you. You cast me off. I'd betrayed my best friend for you, and you left me high and dry. The next years were so unbearably hard.
Riley?
Eek! She squeaked and jumped about a mile. She grabbed her chest. She wasn't talking out loud, was she? Logan! Dear God! He chuckled.
Whatever you're writing, you were really in the zone there, I guess. Your door was open.
She cleared the screen and actually blushed. I mean, a proposal. An itemized...
I didn't mean to scare you,
he said. Come in. What are you doing here?
He walked into the room and sat in one of the chairs facing her desk. I was in the area and hadn't seen you in a few days.
We talked,
she said, feeling a little defensive. Not quite as much. Listen, I have a crazy week coming up, and you probably do too. Can I take you to dinner tonight? Might be the only chance we get for a while.
Oh, gee, that would be...
She folded her hands on top of her desk.
We didn't really talk about this, about Christmas. I'd love to have you come over to my mom's either Christmas Eve or day, but I figured you have to see your family, and I don't know if you want to meet everyone in my family for the first time on a holiday.
He just grinned at her.
But if you'd like to...
It's okay, Riley. My debut with Maddie didn't go all that well.
I'm sorry. That was so unexpected. I guess that's what I get for never dating. But I don't think it would be that awkward at my mom's house.
I think I'll just take care of my own family for the holidays. I can spell my partner so she can have time with her husband and kids. And God knows I want to be available for my ex-wife. I'm sure she'll be at least stopping by. And my father.
He rolled his eyes.
But dinner tonight would be excellent. Or tomorrow night. How about it?
That sounds like a great idea. Where would you like to go?
How about Riviera Ristorante?
I love that place.
She glanced down at herself. She was wearing pants and a blazer today.
Am I dressed all right? So I don't have to go home?
You look perfect.
He looked around.
I wondered about the office. This is really nice, Riley. Very...
The outside office door opened, and a moment later there was a light tapping on Riley's door. Emma peeked in the door. Oh, sorry. When you're finished, she said, beginning to pull out. Come in, Emma. This is a friend of mine, Logan Danner. We were just making plans for dinner. Logan, can you give me 5 minutes with Emma?
Of course, he said, standing.
Oh, Emma said. It's you, from the hospital.
He frowned slightly. The hospital?
I was waiting for a ride. I was a little upset. You
gave me your flowers, she said.
That was you?
He asked, peering at her.
Huh, that was you. You said you were having a bad day.
That was the last day I worked at that job. I was in hospital housekeeping. I came here immediately after that. That was nice of you. The flowers?
I was visiting a co-worker who checked out. I wasn't going to take the flowers to her house. I saw that as problematic.
Then he grinned. You two know each other? Riley asked. We never met, actually, Emma said. We both happened to be waiting outside of the ER, and I looked like I felt. At the end of the line.
I told her to take the flowers or they were going in the trash, Logan said. Just a spontaneous gesture. I could have left them with the nurses, but...
He shrugged. Emma looked at Riley. It's all right with me if he stays. It's going to take about 1 minute. Emma took a breath. I did something today that was against policy. In our last house, the man was beating his wife, and I know I'm supposed to call you or Nick or McKenna with issues, but I called the police. Oh my Jesus, Riley said. Sit down, Emma.
I'm sorry, I know our policy is not to see the client's personal stuff, but I just couldn't look the other way.
Emma, that wasn't personal, that was assault. Against the law. That's not the stuff you're supposed to pretend not to see. That Reverend Douglas likes to wear his wife's lingerie is what we don't see, not crimes. Reverend Douglas wears his wife's lingerie?
Emma and Logan said at the same time.
I didn't say that, Riley said. I wish you'd called me, but not because I'd ignore something like that. Because I'd file the complaint, drive out to the scene and wait with you for the police, and hopefully Mr. and Mrs. Andrews would blame me and not you. Hopefully they'd forget you had anything to do with it.
That wasn't going to happen, Emma said. I was listening at the door to see if I could hear her crying for help, and he opened the door suddenly. I fell on him. Splat! The mean little squirt. She huffed a little. I wish he'd taken a hand to me.
Was she badly hurt? Riley asked.
I don't know how badly, but they took her to the hospital in an ambulance. And that took some convincing.
I have a feeling they've been there before. He might have broken her arm, and he tried to strangle her. Oh my God, Riley said. Okay, listen, Emma. This isn't the first time we faced an abusive situation. When we enter their homes and clean their personal space, we enter their lives in ways even they don't comprehend. If you ever suspect abuse or unlawful behavior, please don't hesitate to say something to me. Or if you're not able to reach me, call McKenna or Nick. We've been doing this longer than you have.
I just couldn't wait, she said.
I'm sorry. No need to apologize, Riley said. I would have done the same thing. You did fine. I just like to take my employees out of the equation when possible, if possible. They'll discontinue our service, there's no question. We saw too much.
Good riddance.
Riley smiled. And I heard about your call on the Christensen home. Smart move.
I was afraid to breathe, Emma said. I can't wait to hear what that's about, Logan said.
Go ahead, tell him, Riley said.
She looked confused for a moment.
Tell him what?
Well, in a previous life, I had some experience working with decorators, and I recognized the Christmas ornaments and decorations in one of the homes were very expensive and very fragile. Even the most careful house cleaner can upset an ornament. These were balls from Wedgwood, from jewelers, crystal from high-end stores like Tiffany's and Waterford.
What's expensive?
He asked. One Waterford ball? Couple of hundred. A couple of Tiffany reindeer statuettes? 1,500. A Swarovski wreath? Everything was high-end.
Wow,
he said.
You must have had a lot of experience handling that stuff.
A little, she said. I didn't want me or my team getting stuck with a big bill just for dusting.
Mrs. Christensen has decided to have her decorator come in and make sure all her priceless decorations are shiny clean.
We're going to leave that stuff alone, Riley said. Thanks for stopping by to explain, Emma. I'll follow through.
Thank you, Emma said, noting the meeting was over. She stood, and so did Logan. Logan reached in his pocket and fished out a card.
If you ever have a problem or need some advice on police matters, don't hesitate. Use the cell. I'm in the field a lot. I'm only in the office a few hours a day.
You're a police officer? She asked.
Yep. And if I don't know the answer to your question, I can get it. I worked some battery domestic and assault as a patrol officer, and I have friends in those specialized units. We're not a huge department.
Well, thank you, Mr. Danner.
Just Logan, Emma.
I appreciate that, she said. She looked at Riley. Hopefully the rest of the week is a little less exciting. Things always get a little wacky during holidays. Have a good week.
Thanks, Emma said.
She's very pretty, Riley thought, even at the end of a difficult day.
Wouldn't it be tidy if Logan took to her? He seemed to light up a little bit when he saw her.
And why would you think that? She asked herself.
Emma's mind was really working as she drove. The domestic battery was so disturbing, so in-your-face horrid. The first thing she told herself was that her situation had never been as bad as that. She'd never been abused like that. Never. But then how many of her New York household had noticed that her husband didn't hold her? That the troop of worker bees who often traveled with them were not all for work? That he had such a developed sense of entitlement he had a mistress right under her nose and bilked his clients for $100 million? No, she'd never been abused. Nuh-uh. Her life had been ruined by the very man who vowed to love and protect her.
Mrs. Andrews must ask herself those same questions every day. How did I marry that man? How did I trust him with my life, my future?
And now she was undoubtedly asking herself how she could get away from him. Emma didn't have to go to Riley's office. She could have just called McKenna and Nick, and chances were one of the other girls had after it was all over. But Emma wanted to look Riley in the eye as if to say, "Here's your chance. I blew it. I didn't follow the rules. Fire me." But Riley stood up for her, supported her, wanted to protect her. Emma didn't kid herself that it was because she was Emma. It was because she was an employee. Adam had been so right about his sister. She ran a good company, provided a safe work environment, took good care of her people, was steadfast. Riley could ignore the fact that she really didn't want to be around Emma and see the situation professionally and fairly. She sighed. Ugh, what did it matter? She didn't want a new best friend. She just wanted to work, live, enjoy a simple peace that helped her heal. That was all. Her cell phone rang, and it picked up in her car. She didn't recognize the number. "Hello?" she yelled into the speaker.
"I know who you are," said a very timid female voice.
Emma was right in front of a side street and made an abrupt turn, no signal involved, earning her a blast from a car behind her. She pulled over. "Hello?" she said again. She pulled her cell phone out of her purse and turned off the car. "Let me get you on my cell. Okay, here I am."
I know who you are," she said again.
"The cleaner."
"Oh, I'm sorry I read your page. I'm not supposed to."
"I know. I left it where you would see it."
"Oh," Emma said. "You wanna talk?"
"I go to the counselor twice a week to talk, and that hasn't done any good."
"Oh. I'm glad you have someone. Why isn't it any good?" Emma asked. she was met with silence, and she thought, I'm an idiot. I should have apologized, asked her not to tell, confessed to Riley again, and... Because they don't want to talk to me. They have to. They're paid to. Ah, Emma said. I understand. Now I think you're doing it. You some kind of spy? No, Emma said, laughing a little in spite of herself. I'm a cleaner who's going to get in big trouble for touching your personal property. I apologize. Why'd you do it then? Well, there have been times I had no one to talk to. Really, no one. And I had a lot on my mind. A lot of worries, and no one to listen, and I know how that feels. Like when? Well, when I was 16, my dad died in an accident. I didn't have a mom. I felt kind of alone then. It was a lie. She had the Kerrigans, though she was still shot through with pain and grief. Emma was trying to understand what this girl might be up against. Did you have a sister? She asked. I had a stepsister and a stepmother. It was a dark period. She cleared her throat. Do you have a sister? No. They figured out after me that there couldn't be more kids, she said. My mother is dead, and I have a stepmother. I hear she's wonderful. Oh? You don't sound like you believe it. Guess, she said. My stepmother says this family is getting back in the groove. She laughed. How am I doing getting back in the groove so far? Emma bit her lower lip. She knew nothing about this sort of thing. She'd never even been to a counselor before Lucinda. June and Riley were the nearest thing to counselors she'd ever had. But she'd had a stepmother. Do you like your stepmother? She asked. I want to. She's a good person. But I try, and I can't. Why? Really? Really? Why? Only if you want to say, Emma said. You can talk about something else if you... She wears my mother's clothes. Emma felt her stomach cramp and her throat closed. She couldn't speak. No one was that insensitive. No one. Not the stupidest person. Even Rosemary had been more subtle than that. She asked if she could, Bethany said. We said yes, my dad and me. But my mother's dead, and she's wearing her clothes. What did that counselor say? Emma asked. The counselor asked me if I thought she was trying to replace my mother, and that's why I was upset. But you told the counselor why you were upset, right? Emma asked. I was upset because she was wearing my mother's clothes, she said, her voice suddenly strong. They'll be worn out pretty soon and she'll have to get new ones. I hope, but I don't think so. Did you tell your dad it bothers you? Emma asked. My dad is, you know, he's not the same. I can tell even if he smiles all the time and acts like we all just got tickets to the ice capades, it's all fake. Inside, he's just so sad. He can't do anything. Emma's cheeks were wet with tears. You should tell him, though. You shouldn't just hurt inside without anyone to talk to. Your dad wouldn't want you to do that. I have you, she said. But, except I don't know your name or anything.
I should call Adam tonight, and we should have a good dinner and maybe 2 bottles of wine and a long night in each other's arms, because I'm going to be looking for work very, very soon, she thought to herself. I'm Emma, she said. And I've been alone and sad, too. But I'm not right now, so I can talk to you. Except I'm not allowed to use my phone during work, during the day. I'm off at 5, and on weekends. This weekend is Christmas, she said sadly. It's a little harder at Christmas. I know, honey. I need to go, she said. I'll call you sometime. Okay? And you can leave a message if I'm working, or in the shower or something. Or text? Bethany asked. Sure, but hey, let's talk, okay? It's what you want to do. Yeah, I think. Don't tell them, okay? I'm not telling them. I hope. I might have to. But let's see, she thought to herself.
This Emma seems like an interesting character, Logan said.
Riley smiled. They were at the restaurant, chatting about nothing at all. You made it all the way to the antipasto, she said.
What? Did I say something wrong?
Not at all. I've been expecting you to say something. You kind of came to life when Emma showed up.
Did I? I think I came to life when she recognized me, but I didn't really remember her. Could the world get any smaller?
This is a small place,